I'd like to say, too, I thank the Lord for the privilege of being involved in Abby's wedding. Weddings are so much fun. But what a joy it was to be able to meet and just have a part. Meet with more of the family and rehearsal and the wedding day and have good conversation. Very, very grateful. I spoke with Nick. We sat at the rehearsal meal together, Nick Stelzik. And, you know, we talked about where his support level is and how they're doing. And he seems to be about finished, anticipating that as the pattern was that support comes in after the meetings, that his final 6% or so, which amounts to about 450, he told us. In fact, it's about 450 a month is what he shared with me when we asked. And but, you know, assured him of the church's desire to be connected and remain solidly connected and be able to maybe go down and do ministry with him when he's ready and all those kinds of things. And just very meaningful. I'm so thankful. Join me, please, this evening at Acts chapter 16 as we continue in our study in the book of Acts. The spread of the gospel, the initial spread of the gospel in the first century. How did you learn to ride a bike? Any unusual lessons that anybody wants to describe? You got one? Anybody? All right. Where did you learn to throw a ball? Where did you learn to drive a car? Where did you learn to relate to people? Did you learn all these things in a lecture in a classroom? Did you learn any of those things in a classroom? How did you learn to witness to the unsaved? I see a connection. It ought to be preached. It ought to be taught, no question. But Jesus taught people to witness when they were standing beside him and he was telling someone else the gospel. We need to preach and we need to teach how to witness. There's no question. But making disciples in the ministry of evangelism is an exact following of our Savior's method in bringing people to share Christ with lost people. And so, yes, partly classroom and partly with someone. Listening to someone and being encouraged. Pastor Kenyon was his example in my life was, wow, he did it again. You know, as a teen, I would hear it and I would recognize, wow, he did it again. And, oh, that's how, because he would share when he had opportunity in a meaningful way how he shared Christ with an individual and God stirred my heart. And you know, I went to BJU, and how many of us, you know, went out on extension? And you went to Spartanburg. I went to Anderson. Is it Anderson County? There's a fair. You know, one of my friends said, let's go on extension. I said, okay, what's that? And I found out, and I found a fellowship of influential friends. I did have other friends that, you know, conversation, it encourages certain behavior, and certainly evangelism is part of that. Lynn and I met at BBC. We were members of Summit Baptist Bible Church, and they brought in the evangelism explosion ministry, and we learned and went out, and just going out. And God has certainly been teaching me. I've really enjoyed the benefit of the book Share Jesus Without Fear by Bill Fay. And, you know, for us to continue to learn and to disciple others in evangelism, I bring you tonight to Acts 16 to show you two characteristics of a true witness for Jesus Christ. One is persistence and the other is creativity. We ought to be a persistent witness, and we would do well to be a creative, creative witness. So let's look at this passage little by little. And 16:16, we were at the riverbank with Lydia getting saved the last time. And here we are in verse 16 now. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this she did many days. That little phrase regarding time is the amount of time in between the first convert and her family, so far as we know, Lydia. One family. Many days. Prison. Another family. We're talking about two families in this city. This team has been evangelizing for many days. Two families. They could have packed up and moved on. They could have said, you know, Peter had money more than this the times when he preached in Jerusalem. Why do we just have two families? There must be something wrong. This isn't working. They persisted. There is something about finding means that work, but there's something more about simply being obedient, isn't there? And persisting and being faithful and continuing and not giving up. And leave the increase up to who? Up to God. Leave the increase up to God. They persisted. This gal possessed by a demon and her the masters abusing her and her condition to make money off of her. Paul. You know, many days. Verse 18, and this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her," and he came out the same hour. So they kept at it for many days, and they kept ministering and meeting for prayer and kept going on. He commands the demon to come out, and then we see the antagonism and the persecution mount right up quickly. Verse 19, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew it. You know, I have a note in the margin. It says dragged them into the marketplace. And that appears in several other places. The concept of grabbing them maybe by the heels and dragging them. So what would that do to your back and your head and on those, you know, dragged them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city," a Roman colony, "and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Paul, Luke, Timothy, Silas persisted under authorities who opposed the Jews, wouldn't let them build a synagogue, against the Christians, threw them in jail. They persisted. Well, now they're in prison, but they persisted up until this. They persisted over time, many days. They continued. They persisted with only one family so far as we know, that had gotten saved, Lydia and her family. They knew that God gives the increase. They were faithful and obedient. There's a lesson for us. To persist, to continue, to be faithful, individually, and I would like to say corporately, together, working to bring the gospel, that God would lead us as a church, as churches, to to an active visitation outreach ministry. We have an event coming. That's one. Let's talk about a few others and be able to develop and see God develop a ministry that we can begin together and have a good percentage of participation in it. We can begin together and we can persist in it over the years and see God use us to bring the gospel to this town and other towns. We've got a college up. Linda mentioned it tonight, right up the road. And you know, the opportunities abound. There are lots of people in Ware. There's lots of need in Ware. May we begin together and persist from there on, seeking the Lord's leading in every step. I find that the next verses can be described by this phrase. Not only were they persistent in ministry and in witnessing, but they were, I'm going to use the word creative. Tell me if you disagree later, but it seems to say something. Notice verse 25. They've been beaten. Stripes, I suspect, means open. Lashes on their back. Sitting very uncomfortably, feet in the stocks in the inner prison. And at midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas, they did two things. They prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Something else happens here very soon, but you know, what if you think they broke out in something like, "Be thou exalted, how great thou art," describing the greatness of the character of God? I don't know if they sang something like, "Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood." They sang praises to God. They admired God in song. They sang of His great goodness. Maybe then they had gospel songs that spoke of Christ's death and resurrection. They sang. God miraculously revealed Himself in verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, he must have heard something before he went to sleep of their testimony, of their witnessing. And seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down. He bowed on that prison floor before Paul and Silas. Why did God open the prison doors if it was not to set free Paul and Silas? May I suggest that it's the same reason that God performed miracles all the other times, was to validate the truth of the word that was spoken. Validate the truth of the word that was spoken. He got the jailer's attention and he got the magistrate's attention. They responded differently. The jailer wanted to get saved and the magistrates wanted them to leave. But God got their attention. He asked the question in verse 30, very helpful for us, isn't it? He brought them out and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And very clearly, by the way, there's more in the next verse, but they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Very clearly, very succinct. This is how you're saved. Faith in Christ. You'll be saved in your house. Verse 32 says, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house." So there were more things said to further explain and to guide in the scriptural truth of salvation and baptism and so forth. The jailer responds. The gospel is presented. His family responds with faith and obedience. Look at verse 33. "And he took them the same hour of the night." Get this. So midnight they were singing, praising God in prayer. The earthquake happened. He takes them, he wants to be saved. Verse 33, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized in the middle of the night. I got to be baptized. This is a pattern in the book of Acts. The Ethiopian eunuch, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And there was water and he was baptized. There, if there's an eagerness on the part of a young person here to be baptized, if there's a readiness on the part of one that's not yet been baptized, there's an eagerness in the church to rejoice with them in that baptism. We'll find a place. There is a place down the road. We've got family that welcomes us to come. If there are adults that are ready and we want to have all these things in place and be encouraging and nurturing people, having those conversations in the relationships that you have with people that come, if you know they aren't yet members or aren't yet baptized or aren't yet maybe saved, to be able to encourage salvation, to encourage them to baptism and membership and service. All of those things. Let's keep those fundamentals in our mind. That's what we're about as a local church body, is to bring people along through many times, yeah, preaching and teaching, but also individual informal conversation. And the way God uses those connections, those relationships, is very important. He was baptized, he and all his straightway. So there's another conversion and his family and they were baptized. Maybe he went to the river and washed their stripes, and then he said, he was baptized. Verse 34, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. When it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to you to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they verily thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard they were Romans. They came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of their city. Just like when the Lord performed a miracle of casting out the demons, they went into the swine, the people came. Instead of rejoicing in the wellness of this man, they said, please leave. Tragic. But these people, they were persistent. They found a way to witness in jail, and God was right there with a miracle. And God worked. Verse 40, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. When they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Can we count on God to give the increase as we get out there more and more and together share Christ with people? Can we be persistent? Can we begin a church ministry of visitation and evangelism? And pray for God to bless it and trust Him to do so and see Him do so. When will be the first salvation? Who will that be? When will we see that first person, that first family get saved and come in? Can you imagine what that'll be like when that family comes in? And we get to rejoice and see, and then they're going to know other people that they, now they're going to share Christ with people that they know, and others will come to know the Lord. Corporate evangelism. Persistence. And where? Looking for that next family. Sharing Christ. Seeing who God will save. Be creative. If you have to take somebody turkey hunting at 4 o'clock in the morning, be creative. Be creative. Set up a booth at the Ware Patriotic Celebration and strive to figure out how to have conversations with neighbors and town folk. Let's go to Romans 10 for a moment. Romans 10:14. Whosoever, verse 13 says, we know this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Notice verse 14 again. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How will these people driving by and live in this community and up this road and down this way and off in these hills and over in that, how will they hear? Who else in town is going to bring the gospel to them? May we work and see and pray and plead with God to develop within us a corporate ministry of evangelism. Personally, I like variety when it comes to evangelism. Community events can be well used, and that certainly is an avenue of bringing the gospel. Evangelistic meetings can be well used, and that's an avenue of bringing people in and seeing the gospel shared with them and see people become, say, special events. Game dinners, live nativities, other kinds of things. And maybe we would not have a game dinner, but maybe we would. But maybe there's another kind of event that you know, people around here hunt and shoot. And maybe we could do something that would allow us to make connections with people. And a form of door-to-door outreach, if it's seeking to talk to people or if it's leaving material for them to read, a John and Romans and something about our church, if it's what kinds of things. By the way, a variety gives more opportunity to reach more if we just focus with one and there are others. It involves more people. I think it's important that together as we would pray that we would see opportunity to involve more people and to disciple more in evangelism and simply to encourage one another more in the fellowship and in the mutual work of reaching people for Christ. To reach more, to involve more, to disciple more. A variety of participation. May I say it to you this way? Can we go home with these two prayer requests? You want to write them down? You can. Can we go home with these two prayer requests? Some time ago in Sunday school, in the book of Acts, I mentioned this idea. Will God bring us to a place? And if there's another pastor that's coming to pastor this church in a number of weeks or months, wouldn't he like to see us together doing evangelism? Can we, wouldn't the Lord like us to see us doing this together? Here are the two requests. Pray for God to lead us in a visitation outreach ministry. That's one. Pray for God to lead us to a high percentage of participation. I didn't number the percentage. I'm curious to hear what you say. Pray for God to lead us in developing a visitation and outreach ministry as a church. And pray for God to bring us to a high percentage of participation in that outreach ministry. I was delighted that there were 11 adults today. Very delighted. I don't know. We didn't talk about if there would be more or whose hopes what had. But there certainly can be more to serve the Lord in this great work of sharing Christ with people. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the commission that you've given to the church. Please cause us to be to keep that burden, to get that burden, to share Christ lest people go to hell. And Lord, won't you lead us in forming and establishing this a ministry in this way, that corporate evangelism would be nicely happening, Lord, in our ministry, and that you would bring a good level of participation in it. We long to please you. We long to serve you. We long to do what you've put us here to do. And we pray that you would bring that about. We plead with you. We thank you. We pray that you'll continue to be with those with needs and burdens and heartache, that you would bring comfort and peace and encouragement. We pray for Gloria and Dave and possible connections with family and opportunities there to witness. for Linda and this lady that she sits with, that she'd be able to share Christ and find an opening and a welcomeness. And Phil and his outreach with a friend, a coworker in the morning, that, Lord, we long to see and to hear who will be saved next, Father. Bring that about, we pray. We thank you. We rejoice in the weekend that we've had together. Pray that you would guide us through the coming week, that all would be done for your glory and your honor. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.